Esther, A Woman of Strength and Dignity by Charles Swindoll. Chapter 8, God's Surprising Sovereignty. I've never met a person who didn't feel pity for Job. Here was a man godly in heart and righteous in life who had his entire world crash in on top of him for no apparent reason other than what some might view as kind of a cosmic joke. Satanic cruelty and God's strange allowing of it to happen. The first part we can handle. It's the second part that throws us. God wasn't absent or uninvolved, but he was silent, at least with Job. It's the mysterious sense of God's silence, which played out in Job's life as God's absence, that makes all of us shake our heads, wondering why. It must have been like swimming in a vast lake and getting 300 or 400 yards offshore when suddenly a freak fog rolls in and surrounds you. You're trapped in this tiny circle of diffused light, but you can't see beyond your arm's reach. You begin to swim toward the shore. At least you think it's the shore, but you're not sure. Then you panic, and you turn and swim in another direction. By now, you've totally lost your orientation. You don't know where the shore is. Your heart rate increases and you decide to float to conserve your strength. Finally, even the eerie light fades and you know the sun is going down. It gets dark. You listen with every atom of your being, if only you could hear a voice from shore. Muffled, faint, at least it would give you a sense of direction, something to swim toward. The sense of lostness must have swept over Job as he sat in the rubble of what was once a beautiful and prosperous landscape. His livelihood was gone, ruined. The fresh graves of his children lay before him on a barren, windswept hill. He had lost everything, even his health. He sat in the ashes of his life, crushed, alone, without direction. He could not even hear God's voice, and not knowing where, to say nothing of why, he began to voice his distress. Words easily criticized by those sitting in a place of comfort, health, and ease. Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was born, and the night which said, 'A boy is conceived.' Why did I not die at birth? Come forth from the womb and expire?" Job 3, verses 1 through 3. And verse 11. Those are what I would call words from the lake, words in the fog. Those are the words of a man who doesn't know why. He feels completely abandoned, and he is worse than dead because he is very much alive in his misery. For my groaning comes at the sight of my food, and my cries pour out like water. And what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. And I am not at rest, but turmoil comes. Job 3, verses 24 through 26. Don't criticize Job until you've been there. It's the worst kind of existence. Bad enough to have everything gone and to have your body covered with sores from head to feet, but to hear no voice from God? Understanding God's timing in our day. From that moving account of one man's misery, let me take you to a realm that is not only so measurable or tangible, the realm of time. Our time versus God's time. You and I are locked in a tiny space on this foggy lake of life called the present. Because our entire perspective is based on this moment in which we find ourselves, we speak of the present, the past, and the future. If we want to know the hour or minute or second, we merely look at our watch. If we want to know the day or the month, the year or the century, we look at the calendar. Time. Easily marked, carefully measured. It is all very objective, measurable, understandable, and conscious. God is not like that at all. As a matter of fact, he lives and moves outside the realm of earthly time, beyond the ticking of our clocks, beyond the turning of our calendar. God has no night, God has no day, God has no month, God has no year, God has no past, present, or future. Theologians call this the transcendence of God. He transcends it all. We see our life in a sequence of frames moving from one to another, almost like a movie. Not God. He sees all the movie of our life all at once, in a flash, along with millions and billions of others going on simultaneously, past, present, and future.